but the venue worked on schedule, down to the second. The clients had been told that they would arrive at exactly 2:30 p.m., Zurich local time, despite the trip requiring an airplane, helicopter, and limousine ride up steep, unmarked roads. The venue liked to schedule a walkthrough for their clients a year before an event. That way, the clients could see the venue in the proper season. A snow-dusted winter event just felt different than the soft evening glow of summer. Winter and Christmas time were usually booked for reunions and holiday parties, but summer was wedding season. The event planner knew that the venue used to go by another, more sophisticated name, but the owners found that their clientele discovered this particular event space through word of mouth. Those hushed recommendations often referred to the location only vaguely as the venue. The name eventually stuck. Why force your American clients to mangle an obscure Romance name? Calling it the venue worked just fine. The vast building, a cross between a ski lodge and a castle, sat nestled along the rising slope of the Alps. It easily held 100 guests in the hotel rooms that filled the second and third levels of the spired, vaulted structure. With all its underground passageways and shelters, most of the staff assumed it had been built as a getaway for the Nazi high command. But no one ever talked about that. It was best not to ask questions at the venue. As the event planner tried not to sweat or squint in the morning sun, she heard the purr of the limousine's engine as it wound its way up the mountain. It would only be a few seconds now. A hostess pulled a champagne bottle from its ice bucket, popped its cork, and poured two chilled flutes. It was then, when the limousine rounded the final corner and came into view, that the event planner's gaze fell toward a rosebush that accented the front door. She didn't know why she looked there at the moment, except maybe she realized, subconsciously, that something was amiss. Sure enough, on the dirt by the rosebush sat what looked like a pale, folded leaf. The event planner knew better, though. Her glare darted to the various members of her staff, each of whom stiffened and grimaced in their red vests and bleached white shirts. They saw what she saw. Nestled in the dirt was a human ear. "Unacceptable," she hissed. She plucked a white handkerchief from a nearby bellhop's breast pocket and bent down by the bush. The ear was cleanly severed, but speckled in blood. An army of ants marched in a line over the top of it, seemingly making plans for how best to carry it away for their dinner. The event planner scooped up the ear in the handkerchief. Tucking the ear in the folds of the cloth, she shoved the handkerchief back into the bellhop's pocket, taking a moment to adjust its corners into a proper triangle. The bellhop and the rest of the staff kept their eyes forward. The limousine came to a stop. The staff rushed over, opening doors and unloading luggage. A man and a woman stepped out of the limousine. They were younger than most of the event planner's clients. She had a keen eye for new money, and in this age of tech startups and venture capital, it seemed that fresh billionaires were minted weekly. The man, barely into his 30s, shifted uncomfortably beneath his mismatch of designer labels. The event planner could see him constantly glance over at his fiancée, modeling his movements and excitement level on her own. "Well, isn't this lovely?" the woman said with a bit of a posh New England accent that struck the event planner as fake. The woman had dark hair tied back from her angular face. The event planner could tell that the woman was fit. Months, perhaps years, of physical training had sculpted and toned her arms and legs, making her physique look quite impressive, even while draped in a loose summer dress. But the rest of her features pulled downward, as though gravity tugged at the edges of her nose and mouth, creating a perpetual, drooping glare. The woman managed to pull her cheeks up into a smile that she directed at her soon-to-be husband. "This could work." "Do you like it, really?" the man said, his face lighting up. "Perhaps. It's an option, depending on the rental agreement, I suppose." "New money, all right." The event planner stepped forward. "Mr. Caleb, Miss Lilith, it is my great honor to welcome you to the venue." The woman, Lilith, eyed her. "And you are?" "The event planner assigned to your wedding. My job is to answer any questions you might have. May I interest you in champagne?"